business here. Welcome to Moadon Ivri. In Hebrew, that's Club Hebrew, which has a nice double entendre to it, because that's what we're trying to do. See? Club that can conquer. You guys get it?
Bad.
It is pretty good. All right, we're in chapter 47. We're going to start chapter 47. And it really is a nice continuation of what happened at the end of chapter 46. If you will remember, Jacob and his family was on their way to Egypt, and Joseph went to meet them when they got to Goshen, and Joseph told them at that time, he said, I'm going to go ahead of you and talk to Pharaoh and announce your arrival. And when you get there, when I call you in to see him, remember he told them what to say. He said that Pharaoh's going to ask what your professions are. Tell him that you are shepherds so that he will settle you in the land of Goshen. Because remember, the chapter ended with this fact that the shepherds are detestable to or abhorrent to Egyptians for whatever reason, whether it's for cultic reasons or something. No one's quite sure of that. So what we have in chapter 47 is a follow-up to that, where Joseph actually then goes to Pharaoh and announces his brothers, and then the brothers come to see him, all right? So we're going to try to get through at least half of the chapter. I figure that if we can go one chapter every 2 weeks, we'll be able to finish Genesis by the end of the quarter. I don't know if we'll make it quite, but we'll be awful close, all right? And then after that, you can look forward to starting First Samuel, all right? So we're going to start verse 1 of chapter 47. Vayavo Yosef, vayaged lefaro, vayomer, aviva achai, vetzonam u vekaram, vekol asher lahem, ba'u me'eretz kena'an, vehinam be'eretz Goshen. Okay. So Joseph came from Bo again. Okay, so Joseph came via gate, and he reported from Nagad. Remember, typical Hiphil, third masculine singular, from Nagad. And he reported to Pharaoh, and he said, Avi, my father, ve'achai, and my, is this singular or plural? Plural, how do you know? Because, right, there is not a single dot under the chet. When there's a single dot, you know it's my brother. When it's anything else, it's plural. So my father and my brothers and their sheep and their cattle and all which is to them, ba'u, have come from the land of Canaan, v'hinam, and look, the Eretz Goshen. They are in the land of Goshen. All right, land of Goshen, that's where we get that saying, which I don't know what it means, but we get it from here. All right, any questions about verse 1? It's pretty straightforward, a very common vocabulary. All right, now we start with, it's a little more unusual, verse 2. U mikze echav lakach chamish anashim vayatzi geim lifnei paro. All right, now this is an odd phrase that occurs only kind of once here. Mikze, that's the preposition min, evidently, and then you have this noun, katzav, which means end or extremity. And it seems to be an expression for from the whole part of the brothers. Okay, so from the group of his brothers. All right, and again, it's just idiomatic here. I don't know any other better way to translate it. But notice that it is in construct with echav. So from the group of his brothers, lakach, he took chamisha anashim, five men. So he took evidently five of his brothers. Vayatzi game. Now can anyone see what the root of this might be? Yatzi game. Anyone see it? Okay, you might think it's from Natsag, right? You might think it's from Natsag. And the more common root, though, is with a yud, yatzag. All right, it's a hiphil from yatzag, and this word occurs only in the hiphil. But notice that it looks like a first nun. Okay, it looks like a first nun, and that's why you get that patach followed by a dagesh. All right, so it is from yatzag, and it means to sit, set, or to place, like similar to seem. All right. And he made them stand, or he put them before Pharaoh. Maybe it would be better to say, and he presented them before Pharaoh. All right, just as they had planned to do in the last chapter. Okay. Any questions about verse 2? Verse 3. Vayomer paro el echav ma, ma'asekem vayomru el paro roet zon avadeka gam anachnu gam avotenu. All right, notice right away how the brothers are using very deferential speech in talking to Pharaoh. How do I know that it's deferential? How do they refer to themselves?
Your servants.
Good, your servants. They refer to themselves in the third person here. So notice how it goes. And Pharaoh said to his brothers, what are your occupations? Literally, what are your works? But notice it's from ma'aseh. And this plural, you have the yud there, tells you that this is a suffix that goes on plural noun. So what are your occupations? And they said to Pharaoh, roe zon. All right, notice that that's from the root ra'at, the shepherd. What form is this? Roe.
Participle.
And notice that it is in construct with zon. So it's literally shepherd of flock. All right. Now notice that this is a collective, and it's a collective because it refers to a class or a group of people. So you might want to say, the shepherd class are your servants. See, because he's kind of he's referring to the species or group that is their profession. Okay. All right. Gam anachnu, both we and avotenu, both we and our fathers. All right. So notice they're telling Pharaoh just what Joseph wanted. All right. Questions about verse 3? Again, we're still kind of in very familiar territory here as far as vocab. All right. Verse 4. Vayomru el paro lagur ba'aretz banu ki ein mire latzon asher la'avadeka ki kavei hara'av be'aretz kena'an ve'ata yeshvu na'avadeka be'aretz goshen. Alright, and they said to Pharaoh, notice how this narrative, we know who's talking to whom, but it keeps repeating. In Western style, we wouldn't do that. But in Hebrew, very frequently, you see that making it very clear who's speaking and to whom they are speaking. And so again, we see for the third time, and they said to Pharaoh, like we don't know who they're talking to. Alright, but you'll see that a lot in narrative. Okay, look at this next form. What form is it? And they said to Pharaoh, lagur.
Infinitive construct.
Good. It's an infinitive construct. How do you know that?
No.
Good. The lamed up in front. And so what's the root here? Gur. Right. Good. It's just a call infinitive construct from gur, hollow verb. And what noun comes from this? Ger. Gimel with a sere under it and resh, which is a sojourner, one who sojourns gair. And so here it would be to settle in the land we have come. So how does lagur function here? What kind of?
Purpose.
Good, it's purpose. See, in order to settle in the land we have come. Banu, that's what banu is. It's just from bo and first common plural, call perfect. We have come to sojourn in the land we have come. So notice he puts... They put the purpose first. It's a little unusual word order than what you're used to. Alright? Ki ein mir'eh. For there is no mir'eh. Now you know this word because you know the root. Ra'ah means to shepherd. With a, put a mem in front of it, it makes a noun. So what does it mean?
Pasture.
A pasture, a place where you shepherd, see? So you get two for the price of one here. Ra'ah, the verb, to shepherd. Mir'eh, pasture. For there is no pasture, latzon, for the flock. Which is la'avadeka, to your servants. Okay? Now he gives the reason why. Ki kaveh hara'av, for heavy is the famine be'eret in the land of Canaan. Okay? Be'ata, and so, okay, now look at this next construction. Yesh vuna, and so, alright, what's the root of yesh vu? Good. It's Yashab. It's a call, imperfect form, but here notice it's jussive. It comes first in the clause, and they're asking something. And notice the na is what?
Particle of politeness.
Particle of politeness. They're still being very polite. See? And so, please let your servants dwell in the land of Goshen. See? So they're making a request, or you could even say, please may your servants dwell in the land of Goshen. Okay? All right, good. Questions about verse 4? That was a little longer one. Yes, it looks to, the imperfect and the justive in this case look exactly the same, notice, because there's no way you can shorten Yeshuvu. So the fact that it is coupled with the na, and the fact that it comes first in this in the clause, notice, it's at the beginning of a new clause. Well, yeah, Be'ata kind of introduces it. tells me that I should translate it as a request. Okay? Good. Anything else? Verse 4. Verse 5. Vayomer paro el Yosef lemor, vika ve'acheka ba'u eleka. Okay. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, saying, as, now here you have this kind of pending clause, and you really need to read verse 6 to see how it's connected with verse 6. As for your father and your brothers who have come to you, okay, or let's just for now translate it, your father and your brothers have come to you. All right, so he's kind of stating the obvious, if you put it that way. But I'll show you how it connects when we get to verse 6. Eretz Mitzrayim lefaneka hi b'meitav ha'aretz hoshev et avika ve'et acheka yeshu be'eretz Goshen ve'im yadata ve'yeshbam anshei chayil ve'samtam sarei mikne'al asher li. Okay. So notice he first of all introduces what he's going to talk about at the end of verse 5. Your father and your brothers have come to you. Okay, now notice here's what he's going to say, really. Eretz Mitzrayim. The land of Egypt, before you, it is. All right, notice as you typically see, this is pointed like a feminine pronoun, he. Because the Masoretes want you to read he. Because it refers back to Eretz land, which is feminine. But a lot of times in the text, the vavs and the yuds got mixed up. That's why you have it pointed, not who, but he. So I read he. Alright? Remember, he is she. Right? How does that go?
He is she and who is he?
Yeah, who is he and he is she. Right. So this is he. The land of Egypt, before you it is. Be'metav. Now look carefully at that word. This follows the same principle basically as mir'eh above. You have the root tov or yatav to be good. You have a mem in front of it, so it's a noun. Okay, so it's something like in the best part of the land. Hoshev. Okay, look at Hoshev. What's the root?
Yashav.
Yashav, and what conjugation?
Hiphil.
And it's a hiphil imperative. So it's from Yashav. Yashav in the call means to sit. This would be the cause to sit or to settle. So settle your father and your brothers. So the land of Egypt is before you it is. In the best part of the land, Hoshiv, settle your father and your brothers. Okay? Yeshvu, they may, here's the same form, notice, Yeshvu. Now he's not asking a request, but he's telling them, okay? Giving them permission, so to speak. They may dwell in the land of Goshen.
Now, where are you getting dwell?
From, oh, again, that's from Yashav. And this is a call imperfect. Right. Call imperfect from Yashav. They may dwell in the land of Goshen. Okay? Ve'im Yadata. Now notice there's a Rabia above Yadata, so you got to pause here. And if you know, alright, and if you know, and it just leaves you to fill it in because it's gonna be self-explanatory. And if you know, and there is among them Anshei Chayil, men of valor, but this probably means something like capable people. See, if you know, and there is among them capable men, all right, then Samtam, what's the root of Vesamtam?
Seem.
From seem. It's a vav. It's simply a vav consecutive perfect second masculine singular. You put. All right, and notice he's using it. It has an imperative force here, as we've seen so often. Then, so if you know, and there is among them capable people, capable men, then place them as sarei, as leaders from, or you know, you've seen it sometimes translated as princes. It's in construct as leaders over mikneh, over the flock, over. As princes of the flock, al asher li, over that which belongs to me. It's kind of very terse, notice, but he's referring to with the al asher, he's referring to his own flock. The li there is a possessive notice. So the whole thing goes, and if you know, and there is among them capable men, then place them as leaders of the mikneh, leaders of the cattle, leaders of the flock, over asher, over what is to me, over what is mine. So notice how gracious Pharaoh is being. Not only does he give them the land of Goshen, but suggests that if they're capable people, they can also watch his flock as well. Okay? Any questions about verse 6? So it's a little convoluted and compressed, but we can work our way through it easily enough. Questions about any form? All right. Good. Verse 7. Vayave Yosef et Yaakov aviv. Vayamidehu lifnei paro. Vayavarek Yaakov et paro. Okay. Joseph Yave. What's the conjugation of Vayave? Hifil from both. So not to enter, but to bring. Joseph brought Jacob, his father. Vayamidehu. Now, what conjugation is Vayamidehu? Hifil again. From Amad, which means what? In the call. Amad?
Stand.
To stand. Good. So here, to cause to stand. So Joseph brought Jacob, his father, and made him stand before Pharaoh. Vayevarek Yaakov, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. It probably means something like Jacob greeted Pharaoh. Alright? Doesn't mean, I don't think that he did a formal kind of religious blessing or anything, but just simply, and Jacob greeted Pharaoh. Said, hey, how you doing? Alright? Now, Jacob must have had a lot of wrinkles, because Pharaoh's first question was kind of, well, maybe not. I don't know why he asked this, but anyway. Verse 8, Vayomer Paro el Yaakov, Kame Yemeshene Chayeka. He was curious. Pharaoh said to Jacob, how many, Kama, see Kama, how many are the Yeme, days, it's in construct, days of the Shene, from Shanim, how many are the days of the years of your life? How old are you, man? No, I don't know. I suppose maybe he did live a lot longer than others. But then, you know, everyone was afraid that he was going to die, if you remember from our previous chapters. So I don't know how feeble he looked, and I don't know.
Can we go through that again, right?
Yes. And Pharaoh said to Jacob, comma, how many are the days of the years of your life? It's just a Hebrew way of saying how old are you. And they repeat this phrase a couple of times. You'll see. Okay. Any other questions about verse 8? Verse 9, Vayomer Yaakov el Faro, Yemei Shene Megurai, Sheloshim U Me'at Shana, Me'at, see Jay, he was a depressed guy, Me'at Veraim Hayu Yemei Shene Chayai, Velo Hisigu Et Yemei Shene Chaye, Avotai Bime Megurehem. Alright, this looks hard, but it's not. And Jacob said to Pharaoh, the days of the years of my what? You all know this word even if you've never seen it before.
Sojourning.
The days of the years of my sojourning. Remember, it's from Gur. You add the mem in front of it, it becomes a noun. The days of the years of my sojournings, this is plural because of the ma'ai suffix, sojournings, are Sheloshim, 30, and Me'at Shena, 30 and 100 years. So he's 130 years old. Okay? And notice, with phrases like this, you can see the singular, shana, rather than in English we have to use the plural. But in Hebrew we've seen this before. It's 100 year, but we'd have to translate 100 years. Ma'at. Here it's a substantive, which means a little bit. A little. And ra'im. This is from This is evil. Little and, I don't think we'd say evil, but little and grievous or hard or something like that. Hayu are the days of the years of my life, or maybe have been the days of the years of my life. Okay? Poor Jacob's still on a downer, man. Even after he's just come to Goshen, seen Joseph. Velo hisigu. Okay, notice this form, hisigu. And you can figure out the root. You got the typical dagesh preceded by a short vowel, tells you got a missing nun, 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 nun. Right? So the root is nasag. Hipfil of nasag, to overtake. Right?
Nasag with the journey.
This is from nasag. Nasag. Nasag with an I, and you're right, would be the journey. Okay? And they have not overtaken. Nasag means to overtake. And they have not overtaken the days of the years of the lives of my fathers. In the days of Megurahem, in the days of their sojournings. Alright? Questions about verse 9? Kind of an interesting insight.
What is he referring to again at the end?
He's referring to the lives of Abraham and Isaac, I think. He's just saying that they lived longer than he did.
Okay.
It's just kind of a roundabout way of saying it. And I wonder if all this talk, you know, he seems to be talking a lot, may be indicative of his position of as an inferior before Pharaoh, or maybe he's nervous, or, you know. But notice there's just a lot of words. And maybe it's just kind of a formal way of approaching someone like this. But it seems, don't you get the sense that there's just a lot of words being said here?
Are you suggesting that he might be, like, rambling?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe, or maybe it's just maybe it's not that. Maybe it's just a style, a kind of a very formal way when you talk to someone who's a superior to you or something like that. I mean, it seems to be a matter of style here. Because it doesn't always happen, right, in this kind of speech. But here you see it. All right. Verse 10, Vayevarek Yaakov. Now notice, it's Jacob blessed. But notice Barak here doesn't mean blessed, but said goodbye. See, bade farewell. Notice how the context changes the meaning of Barak from said hello or greeted him to bade farewell, said his goodbye. See, so Jacob bade farewell to Pharaoh by Yetze, and he went out from Yatzah, and he went out mi-lifnei Paro, from before Pharaoh. Okay. Questions about verse 10? Alright, verse 11. Vayoshev Yosef et Aviv v'et Achav vayiten lahem achuza be'eretz Mitzrayim bet meitav ha'aretz be'eretz ra'emseis kasher ziva paro. This is interesting. So Joseph Yosef, his father, he settled. Again, that's the hiphil imperfect from Yashav. Notice the yo tells you that it's a hiphil along with the seirei under the shin. So Joseph settled his father and